Good morning. Eisenhower once said, "In order to be a leader, a man must have followers. And to have followers, a man must have their confidence. Hence, the supreme quality of a leader is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, no matter if it's on the football field, in an army, or in an office. If a man's associates find him guilty of phoniness, if they find that he lacks integrity, he will fail. His teachings and his actions must square with each other. Therefore, the great need is integrity." Leadership is a vital part of the church today. And many cases of leadership are recorded in the Bible, whether it's Moses leading the Israelites in the wilderness or one of God's appointed judges leading them out of captivity. God's people have always had leaders. But the leader I'd like to focus on this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 12. And I'd like to suggest that Paul's example to the Thessalonians reflects how we as Christians are to lead. We find four examples given by Paul on how to lead. Before I get to those, I'd like to notice what the word lead is translated as. It's to cause someone to go with you by holding on to their hand. And this phrase originated and is associated with horses. Because a horse has a strength of its own and a mind of its own, but it needs a guide and an owner to direct it and where to go. And this same aspect applies to us as well, because we need a leader to help us in where to go. So then let's look at the four insights that Paul gives that makes a great leader. First, a great leader leads with gentleness. Verse 7. It says, "But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." To become a leader, a great leader, we must be gentle. And notice what Paul compares gentleness to: a mother to her own child. Now, every parent thinks that their kid is the absolute most amazing, beautiful little child ever. Every person's like, "Oh, my baby's so adorable," and social media is flooded with pictures of that same baby. But I don't think that same way. I don't feel that same way about that baby because it's not mine. I don't have that same connection. It's not my child. I think every single baby looks exactly the same, and that's like a potato. Every single one of them looks exactly the same. But I know that will change because there's a certain special connection that happens between a parent and their kid. There's a certain love. And Paul says that he has this same kind of connection or love with the people of Thessalonica. And to be a good leader, we must also have this care for others. A mother would do anything for the well-being of her kids. Likewise, Paul was willing to do anything for the people at Thessalonica. And to be a good leader, we must also care for others. A mother is also gentle to her newborn baby. She wouldn't purposely do something that would put it in harm's way or to hurt that child. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day in a written test, she included this question: "My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I?" When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that over half the class answered that question with the word mother. Mothers are known for helping and caring and protecting their children. And we see Paul having the same attribute towards those at Thessalonica. Paul also mentions gentleness in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." This isn't something for leaders alone. All of us must be gentle. As God's chosen people, we have a duty to be gentle. Gentleness is described as mild in temperament or behavior. As Christians, we have this obligation to be gentle. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Gentleness is a great first impression. I've heard it described as, "Would you rather have a spoonful of sugar or a spoonful of salt?" Because we have two choices when we talk to people. We can either come across as that spoonful of sugar that's pleasant, or that salty, harsh, unloving way that comes across towards people when we talk to them. Paul mentions all of this because this is how he acted towards them. He led them by using gentleness. But not only does a great leader have gentleness, second, a great leader sacrifices. Verse 8. It took less than 10 seconds for the Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt to cover the 100-meter distance on the Olympic track and win the gold medal in London. Those few seconds cemented his title as the fastest man alive, and it placed him on the winner's podium once again. But the race was not won in those few seconds. It was won by hours and hours of practice and workouts and weightlifting and special dieting and coaching. The race was not won in the performance, but in the preparation. It is our desire for something greater that causes us to sacrifice for some things, even some good things for the things that are better. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. These word fonds, affections, mean to have a strong affection for or a yearning after. Paul had a yearning love for the Christians at Thessalonica. Then Paul goes on to write, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God. Paul had a great delight in imparting the gospel and his life to the Thessalonians. And this word impart means more than to just give. It means to give from oneself. It takes sacrifice. He then writes, but also our own lives. Paul and the apostles did whatever was necessary to share the gospel with Thessalonica. We read in Acts chapter 15 and verse 26, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles gave their entire lives so that the church at Thessalonica would grow. Sacrifice is necessary if people are going to develop into what God wants them to become. A truly loving mother pours out her whole life for her children, as we saw earlier. Lastly, from verse 8, we read, because you had become dear to us. Paul and the apostles grew their love toward the Thessalonians. You know, we always hear people say, I love ministry. It's just the people that I can't stand. But when you think about it, a true ministry has a deep love for people. And has to have this deep love, we must sacrifice for those that we lead. Paul is saying true leadership cares about the spiritual and eternal welfare of their followers. So many Christian leaders today take advantage of those who follow them, but doing this goes against the true nature of leadership and how it was designed for the church. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21 says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Rather than going off of greed, committed leaders should spare no pain for those they serve. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, that he didn't count his life worth anything when it came to spreading God's word. David Livingstone, the Scottish missionary, was once asked why he sacrificed so much to live in Africa. And he replied this, can this be called a sacrifice? This is simply paying back a small part of a great debt that owed to God, which we can never repay. We should strive to have this same selfless attitude when it comes to leading others in Christ. So Paul so far has given two qualities for being a great leader. And thirdly, a great leader leads by example. Look at verse 9. It says, for you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. At the 1993 annual meeting of the American Heart Association, 300,000 doctors, nurses, and researchers met in Atlanta to discuss, among other things, the importance that a low-fat diet plays in keeping your heart healthy. Yet during mealtimes, they consume fat-filled fast foods, such as bacon, cheeseburgers, and fries, at about the same rate as other people from conventions. When one cardiologist was asked whether or not his partaking in high-fat meals set a bad example, he replied this, not me, because I took my name tag off. Being a great leader is leading all of the time, no matter the circumstance. We can't just take our name tag off, so to speak, because people are always watching. They're looking to us on how to act. Paul and the other apostles showed to the Christians at Thessalonica, by example, how to act. Notice what Paul says, for you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship. The Thessalonians could look back and remember the example that the apostles gave for them to follow. Are we like this, or we all talk? Do we say, do as I say, not as I do, and we don't give them example as leaders to follow? People will follow the examples that our actions portray. One Sunday morning in 1865, a black man entered a fashionable church in Richmond, Virginia. When communion was served, he walked down the aisle and knelt at the table. A rustle of resentment swept across the congregation because how dare he? This was a one-cup congregation. But suddenly a distinguished layman stood up, stepped forward towards the table, and knelt beside the black man. With Robert E. Lee setting the example, the rest of the congregation soon followed his lead. The examples that our actions set are powerful. So the question is, what kind of example am I setting? Because we can only have two kinds of examples, good or bad. And our example, whether good or bad, decides the eternal fate of those who see our actions. Paul and the apostles set a great example for the church at Thessalonica. We see Paul writing in Philippians 4:9, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." We see from this that Paul's example was so good that he tells the Philippians to practice this, and God will be with them. Are we confident enough to say this to another Christian? Do we know that we have the faith and the relationship with God, and that our examples are so squared with God that we can say, "Follow my example, and God will be with you"? As we lead others, are we following the example of Christ? Being a great leader means to lead by example, but lastly, being a great leader means to lead with action. Verses 10 and 11. This reads, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children." Paul gives three qualities to show how he led with action. Firstly, they led, the apostles, devoutly, and that means to have or show deep feelings of commitment. Paul and the apostles had a deep commitment for those at Thessalonica, and they were committed to the church and how they behaved towards fellow Christians. Second, they led uprightly. This means to be strictly honorable or honest. They led so as to prove that they were trustworthy. Proverbs 14:2 says, "He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord." The apostle showed his fear of God by being upright. Third, they led blamelessly, and this means to be innocent of wrongdoing. Paul and the apostles were basically saying, "We acted in a way that was purely Christ-like towards you." Paul mentions all of these to show that they led by their actions. But then Paul goes on to say in verse 11, "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children." Paul gives three participles here: exhorting, encouraging, and imploring. And he mentions all these to show what their actions were towards them at Thessalonica. And once again, we see this parent-to-child figure, this father-to-son. They did these actions in love. By doing these things, the apostles showed us what actions do when it comes to being a great leader. We see the reason that Paul and the apostles did these actions in verse 12. It says, "So that you would walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." There was a reason why the apostles led by their actions, and that was so that there would be the end result of those there walking in a manner worthy of God. Once again, what are our actions portraying? As we lead, we must consider that the actions that we are portraying are helping others to walk worthy of God. They either are or they aren't. There's a story of a man named Larry Walters. He was a 33-year-old man who decided that he wanted to see his neighborhood from a whole new perspective. So he went down to the local army surplus store one morning and bought 45 used weather balloons. That afternoon, he strapped himself into a lawn chair, and he had his friends tie the now helium-filled air balloons to his lawn chair. He took along with him a BB gun, figuring that he could just shoot down the balloons one at a time when he was ready to land. Walters, who assumed that the chair would only lift about 100 feet in the air, was caught off guard when his chair soared more than 11,000 feet into the sky, smack into the middle of the air traffic pattern at the Los Angeles International Airport. Too frightened to shoot any of the balloons, he stayed airborne for more than 2 hours, forcing delays across the country and causing the Los Angeles Airport to shut down its runways. Soon after he was safely grounded and cited by the police, reporters asked him three questions. They asked him, "Were you scared?" He said, "Yes." "Would you do it again?" He said, "No." "Why did you do it?" "Because," he said, "you can't just sit there." Being a leader, we can't just sit there, because being a great leader takes action. I guess a greeter would too. Paul and the apostles are a great example of how to lead by action. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 12, we saw four examples given by Paul on how to be a great leader. First, a great leader leads with gentleness, verse 7. Second, a great leader sacrifices, verse 8. Thirdly, a great leader leads by his example, verse 9. And lastly, a great leader takes action, verses 10 and 11. I'd like to end with this list of qualities of a good leader that was written by a different Paul, Paul Borthwick. He said this: "A great leader is someone who cannot be bought, whose word is their compromise, who put character above wealth, who possess opinions and a will, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be honest in the small things as well as in the great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everybody else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as in prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it is unpopular, and who can say no with emphasis, although the rest of the world says yes. A great leader imitates Christ. This morning, if you're sitting there and you realize that you haven't been imitating Christ, that you haven't been the leader that you should be to your fellow brothers, I know we don't normally offer an invitation in chapel, but the invitation is still there. You can still ask someone to be with you. You can still ask someone to pray for you if you're struggling. If there is a need, let one of us know and we can pray with you. Thank you.